Smallbiz America. Brain. David Hellerman is a senior analyst at eMarketer, a premier source for market research and trend analysis on internet, e-business, online marketing, media, and emerging technologies. An expert in online advertising and marketing, David covers search engine marketing, online video advertising, internet ad targeting, email marketing, local advertising, and ad spending across all the media. He's a contributor to the Wall Street Journal, CNBC, New York Times, Business Week, Forbes, USA Today, and many more. Joining us on the line for a bird's eye view of the trends on online advertising and marketing is David Hellerman. David, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you, David.
eMarketer collects information from about 3,000 sources in order to identify trends in online advertising and marketing. David, in the broadest sense, what are some of the trends you're seeing in the way companies are advertising online right now?
Well, you know, the online world is like the rest of the world, and right now the major trends are very conservative. They're reactions to the recession.
Yeah.
The biggest spending is going for what is perceived as more of a sure thing, which is mainly search advertising.
Yeah.
It's one of the key areas. Email is a big focus too, although the size of email advertising and marketing, especially the marketing side, isn't reflected in dollars as much as usage because it costs a lot less to do. Another trend we're seeing is a slowing up of spending on display ads like banners. Part of the reason for that is they're seen as kind of interchangeable. Sales through networks of like the lower cost space, the remnant space from large sites or space from smaller sites.
Mm-hmm.
That low cost reinforces the perception that the display ads are interchangeable. It's also that they're not necessarily as effective or as easy to track their effectiveness. One more trend I just wanted to mention that is more still in terms of interest than dollars is the growing interest in, I call it social internet. It's more than just social networking. It's all the ways that people contribute to websites. But in social internet marketing,
mm-hmm,
and video advertising. But both areas are still experimental, and marketers are still figuring out what works best.
In terms of the video piece, I wanted to dig in a little bit there. Are we talking about pre-roll here?
Pre-roll is going to remain, even though there are some who say, oh, people hate it a lot. It depends what the pre-roll is attached to. It depends on two levels what the pre-roll is attached to. It depends upon the length of the video. So, for example, a 15-second pre-roll is maybe imbalanced when it's only a 2-minute video. But if it's a 10-minute video or TV shows where it's even the half-hour show is a 21-minute video, some pre-roll is quite acceptable. In addition, and here I'm mentioning the TV shows, another is what sort of content it's attached to. Not only does the audience find advertising, video advertising, less acceptable for user-generated content, most advertisers aren't willing to pin their brand against non-vetted content.
The idea of branding and relevancy and what content they're attached to, as you say.
Yeah, and especially when you're talking video ads, A, they're more expensive, so you're going to generally be getting advertisers who have deeper pockets, and video ads are more used for branding purposes than direct response. I mean, here I mentioned search and email before. Those two dominant forms of advertising and marketing are still mainly in the direct response realm.
Are you seeing any difficulties or pushback on the email side of this spectrum?
No, you know, nothing new. It's really quite traditional. In fact, some of the most fascinating research I've seen over the years, and I've seen this from more than one source, rates how much consumers trust different forms of advertising. And the top one is almost always word of mouth. You know, friends and family, people always trust that the most when they hear that about products. But also, among the top, is email that people have requested. Always high. People like email from companies they've said.
That's fascinating.
They opted in. They said yes. And it's opposite. Email that's unsolicited is always near the bottom. And, you know, let's look at, you know, often that's called spam. But, you know, sometimes people think, well, We're not spamming. We're a legitimate company. If it's an unrequested email, if it's an unsolicited email, it can be seen as spam, even if the company itself isn't, you know, some absurd, you know, thing where they'll enlarge your debt while reducing the size of body parts or whatever they do.
I wanted to roll back just a bit. We've hit some of this already. What are the basic ways that a company can advertise online? What are all the choices in the spectrum? And maybe you could comment on each one in terms of what you're seeing.
Well, the basic categories, let's start with search, which is includes the paid ads that are found next to search results on search engines. They are contextual text links, such as sold through Google's AdSense service, which are look similar to the ads on a search engine, but they appear on content sites, and contextual, meaning hopefully with next to relevant content. And then also in search, and the search marketing side, is what's called search engine optimization, also often known as SEO for short, which is working to make your website appear higher in the organic listings, in the non-advertising listings, the core listings of a search. It helps your site appear higher when relevant keywords are searched for. Search is powerful for several reasons, but the core one, if we're going to only reduce it to one, is simply it is self-targeting, meaning when someone enters a search into a search engine, they are saying two things. They are saying, I am interested in this topic, and I am interested in it right now. Very powerful.
Wow.
To place an ad in front of someone who says they're interested in your, or potentially interested in what you're selling, and they're interested in it currently, not, you know, somewhere down the line or last year, you couldn't get more relevancy. And that's why Google is so huge. Google is the biggest of the search engines, and there are a lot of dollars flowing into it because it does work. And it works because it is controlled by consumers, actually. Controlled by users. They can be business people, too, not just consumers. It's controlled by individuals.
The when of this equation is not something I've given a whole lot of thought to. They need it now. They're searching for it now. Yeah.
Yeah, the when is always very powerful in advertising. Display ads, another big category. Banners of different sizes, skyscrapers, etc. I'm talking static display ads there. We're not talking ones with motion or sound.
Okay.
As I say, that the spending is going down in that area. They are somewhat easily ignored by users, although later on, if we go into it further, I have something to point out about that. But they are kind of the bread and butter, and they can back up other aspects of a campaign. That's the other thing. I'm going to go through these categories. I've mentioned search and display, but let's not look at them in isolation. Potentially, just like we can't look at online in isolation for many companies for other media that they do advertising in, consumers don't see it separately. They just see whatever message a company is trying to get out there. Another category that we hit upon is video, which, small in terms of dollars, it will undoubtedly be a growth area for three key reasons. Advertisers want it because it gives them branding control. Web publishers want it because it is a higher-priced advertising format and gives them money. And, you know, even users want it because users want more video. And if the content is worth it, as we discussed earlier, people are willing to go through ads. I mean, they're, you know, to get to the content. So that desire is powerful. Another ad format that is very unsexy and almost not even thought about, but it's the third biggest and has been for years in terms of dollars, are classified ads. That's eBay, that's local newspapers, that's all the ways that, you know, you mentioned eBay. Companies, you know, have full-time businesses selling through it. That all counted as classified dollars. There still is, a steady market there. It's a little bit soft now. That is a reaction also to the recession, but it's not one that's going away. Then there's email. And I just want to point out that email advertising and email marketing are actually separate things. Email advertising would be an ad that a company would place on a third-party email. Say, for example, I regularly get emails from this Macintosh newsletter. And there are ads from Macintosh software companies on that newsletter. Those are email advertising. If, to continue with the same theme, if Apple or a Macintosh software company sent me an email directly, that's marketing. It's not a media purchase. They are, you know, communicating with me directly. And it's the email marketing that I was talking about earlier in terms of opt-in email being still so powerful because people have agreed to see it. That agreement is kind of parallel to what I was talking about before with search. With search, people say, I'm interested in this topic, I'm interested in it now. With opt-in email, people are saying, I'm interested in your company or your service. You know, you can tell me about you. That kind of openness is more and more essential to success.
We're visiting with David Hellerman. He's a senior analyst at eMarketer.com. That's the website, eMarketer.com, just like it sounds, no hyphens or special characters there, eMarketer.com. You wanted to dig a little deeper into the display. You had a point you wanted to make. I was curious to track back on that.
Sure. I've seen this in a few surveys, which is even though people say they find display ads easy to ignore, one wonders how much ignoring is actually taking place, because I've seen several surveys that show, there was one recently, I believe, from ComScore that showed that the click-through rate for searches after people were exposed to related display ads, meaning related from the same company, there was a higher click rate for the same product or brand than those people not exposed to those display ads. And that goes back to my point earlier about not using these ads in isolation, that they can feed upon each other.
So you're suggesting, I guess, that an exposure of a display ad actually created a behavior elsewhere on a page or even on another page.
Well, yeah. Or you know, to me, it's one of those areas of research I sometimes call "duh" research. it says something that kind of reinforces common sense, which is if someone has seen some information about a brand, they'll more likely remember it, and when they do something else, such as a search, it's going to have some effect.
Yeah.
You need research to prove it but nevertheless, it's kind of common sense that humans operate that way.
I wanted to elaborate a little bit on the classified category. So these are lists of products and services on a subscription type of basis, and these lists appear like a Craigslist type of mechanism?
Well, Craigslist is one, in terms of dollars, there were hardly any dollars there. I mean,
it's an interesting story.
Craigslist has been so powerful,
right.
But it can be lists. As I say, it's also eBay. It is still local newspapers. It's job sites, you know, Monster.com, Hot Jobs, etc. It's you know, the classified area is huge, and what makes it work better online than on paper is the searchability of it and the ability to add pictures, etc.
Okay.
So it's another way, especially, you know, local businesses might, you know, want to, there are local directories, and that's another way to get included there to test things at lower cost, to add coupons, say, to a classified mention, you know, code XYZ, and we'll give you a free, you know, little nubbin when you come to our store.
Yeah. What are you seeing in terms of, if you were to compare the audio to video, let's talk about online podcasting, internet radio, anything to talk about in terms of trends there?
I certainly wouldn't conflate the reactions to video and audio. I mean, one of the potential areas, not only do people consume more video than audio online, but there's the possibility through the size of the audiences and across multiple sites, the same video being available, to have the kind of reach that brand marketers want. Radio online is a harder place to make money. I don't know if you know that from your business.
I had to ask the question.
To attract lots of advertisers or right. paying advertisers. It's a niche business, but the potential benefit there is niche businesses are very useful for targeting. And targeting is another area of online that can help when we were talking about display ads before, or it could be with this sort of podcast ads attached to podcasts, etc.
Yeah.
Targeting can allow the sort of better focus that gives better results that can at least increase some of the revenue for those selling those ads.
Yeah, fascinating. Looking around the corner a little bit, Twitter's coming alive, and they apparently are looking at ways to monetize their model. Anything else out there perhaps like that in the social media space that you're seeing around the corner?
Well, as I say, the social internet, again, the reason I use that expanded term is it's not just on social network sites. It's found on traditional content sites more and more. Newspapers, that the websites have it. Other traditional media companies have it. Other sites that aren't purely social networking or social communication like Twitter have it. And it's going to be very hard to monetize, to make money from the social internet. There's a lot of traffic. But, you know, this social network sites in particular remind me of love. They really do. Which is that social network sites get a lot of traffic, which means they're very important. But just like love, not everything that's very important can you make money from.
That's an interesting analogy.
More so, one of the trends seeing around the corner is seeing more and more barriers or silos breaking down, more and more blends and mixes of ad formats, of commerce and content, of channel and delivery choices. For example, in terms of ad formats, Yahoo just announced search with not just the text ads, but with video and images coming up. We're going to be seeing more of that kind of blend of formats. When I'm talking about commerce and content, there could easily be a video series available on different platforms, the web, mobile, even television, that is sponsored, that has, you know, the products as part of it, that the audience can vote on what happens next to characters. And so there it's blending the creators and the audience. Blending in different ways is going to be more and more part of online marketing.
David, the primitive form of this might be product placement in films, right? In terms of reference?
Yeah, I mean, there's product placement, but as I say, the sponsored side could have the placement, but it also, as I say, can involve the audience too, and that's a further blend that takes advantage of the social internet, but also is in terms of content. I mean, content is easier to advertise around than communication.
Okay, the blend is the big word there. Thanks so much. Fascinating stuff. David Howerman has been our guest. He's a senior analyst at eMarketer.com. That website, www.emarketer.com. eMarketer.com. David, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, David. You take care.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.